So we gather today to celebrate the sacrament of baptism as three children of God, adult children of God, are grafted into the body of Christ as living members of the body. And we celebrate the sacrament of confirmation as 10 already baptized persons will deepen their lives in and through this tradition, the Episcopal Church. And I do suspect we have some visitors with us today who have come to support our candidates for baptism and confirmation. And if you are a visitor, we welcome you and we invite you into this to participate in this service to the extent that you feel comfortable. And if you come to us from another faith tradition, we want you to know that we respect your tradition. And to you being baptized today or confirmed today, we want you to know that it is really a privilege for us to be a part of your lives on this very significant day. And momentarily, this gathering will make a vow to do all in our power to support you in your life in Christ. So maybe you've heard the story about a greyhound who retired from dog racing during his prime. If you've ever been to a dog track, you know that it's true that greyhounds race against each other. But in reality, they are chasing something. At the end of a long pole, there is a replica of a rabbit. And that rabbit is traveling around the track just ahead of the dogs. And the dogs are trying to catch the rabbit. Well, as the story goes, one spectacularly successful greyhound, this is a true story, a champion with a perfect record, retires from racing during his prime. And of course, all the racing fans and the reporters want to know, you've still got a lot left in you and you're still young, why retire now? And the greyhound replies, I quit when I discovered that what I was chasing was not a real rabbit. The greyhound chose to quit chasing something that was not real. I heard the evangelical preacher Tony Campolo tell that story at a fundraiser once, and then he went into telling us about his preacher back home in Pennsylvania. Now, it's customary in Campolo's home congregation to celebrate what they call Student Recognition Sunday. And one morning from the pulpit, the preacher says to the students and to everyone else, says, one day you're going to die. And when people gather around your grave, are they going to be remarking on the titles on your tombstone, or are they going to be standing around your grave giving testimonies? And he asked those teenagers, is your life about collecting titles or testimonies? He says, Pharaoh had the title, he was king of Egypt, but Moses had the testimonies. Herod was a king, he had the title. John the Baptist, whom Herod executed, had the testimony. And he says, I wish for you titles on your tombstone, but when it's all over and everyone is standing around your grave reflecting on your life, I hope that you're giving testimonies. So both of these stories ask us to consider what we chase. And if we're chasing something that's not real. In today's reading from the letter to the Philippians, Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. And then he tells us about the privileges of his pedigree and his social and religious status as a circumcised Jew and his moral superiority. He's saying, if anyone thinks they are privileged, I'm even more privileged. Paul is acknowledging that he was born on third base. Now, we cannot help where we are born. The problem is when we think we hit a triple. But Paul has figured out that he didn't hit a triple. But even more importantly, that's not what matters anyway. He says, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. Paul now regards prestige and adoration and admiration and all the self-justifying things we chase to prove that we are somebody. He regards all those things as rubbish. They're not what matters. They're not real. I'm mindful of a story told by Colleen McCullough entitled The Thorn Birds. Maybe you remember it. You may have read the book. If you're as old as I am, you may have seen the television miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. It's Father Ralph. Some of you are nodding. Father Ralph is an ambitious Roman Catholic priest who is destined to rise to the high rank of cardinal in the church, and a rank that he will attain, but not without a cost. Father Ralph is in love with a young woman named Maggie, which complicates things. As the story goes, Father Ralph falls in love with Maggie while serving the church in Maggie's homeland of Australia. He continues to rise in the church, and eventually he goes to Rome, leaving Maggie behind. They are separated geographically for years, but he cannot stop thinking about Maggie. And finally, his spiritual director sends Father Ralph from the Vatican back to Australia and tells Ralph that he must make a choice. Father Ralph makes the trip back to Australia, and then he returns to Rome, presumably choosing the church. Clearly, it's torture. He reveals to his spiritual director that he has broken all vows in Australia, that he never wanted to leave her, and that he is wounded and cannot seem to be healed of that wound. His wise spiritual director says, perhaps you're not meant to be healed of that wound. Perhaps that wound has saved you. He suggests to Father Ralph that he might be too proud to love, might be too arrogant to count himself among mortal men. Yes, your vows were broken, he says. Perhaps, too, that proud spirit that kept you from the thing you wanted most. So 20 years later, Cardinal Ralph returns to Australia, older and in poor health. Finally, he returns to the woman he loves. And in what turns out to be the last day of his life, a day of grace, he gains his beloved Maggie's forgiveness. Ralph confesses to Maggie, saying this. He says, I wanted to be a cardinal more than I wanted our son, more than I wanted you. And of all the wrong I've done, the worst is that I never made a choice for love. Half given to you, half given to God, but really, all given to my own ambition. And I knew it. I did it anyway. I told myself it was meant to be. Cardinal Ralph looked back on his life and saw what he missed. It's not that he chose the church over a woman. For many, that's the right choice. Cardinal Ralph made the choice out of personal ambition, not love. Cardinal Ralph missed life, chasing something that's not real. I wonder if that's what's going on with Judas Iscariot in today's gospel. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and now Jesus and Lazarus and Martha and Mary, perhaps some disciples, including Judas, evidently, they're gathered for dinner in Lazarus's home. One can imagine that Martha and Mary are filled with gratitude and affection as Jesus has raised their brother from the dead. Staying in character, one serves dinner, the other anoints Jesus with expensive perfume. It's a moment of intimacy and devotion, and in what may be the most inauthentic and tone-deaf utterance in the Bible, Judas says, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Of course, the passage itself tells us that Judas does not care about the poor. He cares about himself. He was going to line his pockets with the money. But I wonder if Judas was most concerned with his status as a leader of a political revolution, that he hopped onto the coattails of Jesus, believing that he would be seen as somebody important in this movement. Only he was wrong about Jesus, and he was wrong about the movement. Judas was with Jesus all that time, and he missed it. He missed the point, and he missed what Martha and Mary found in Christ. He missed what was real. One of my favorite poets died this year, and I think it's safe to say she's my favorite poet, and I know many of you know her and have been moved by her poetry as well, Mary Oliver. I want to read a portion of her poem, "When Death Comes." She writes, "When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing or frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world." I believe everyone here seeks what is real. Not all the time, for if we are honest, we can understand Cardinal Ralph and maybe even Judas. Sometimes real life happens right before our eyes, and we're so self-absorbed we miss it. But I do believe everyone here seeks what is real, that it's our deepest desire, and it's one reason we're here today. We're here because we choose love. But let me suggest, we don't need to chase love. For we are loved already. You have nothing to prove. You have no need to justify yourself. You have no need to chase prestige or adoration or admiration or all the self-justifying things we chase in order to justify ourselves. For you are baptized. And the same words the voice spoke when Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, those same words are spoken to you, and they are true all along. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. You are loved. Before you accomplish one thing, you are loved without conditions. It's true for you. It's true for the whole world. And it is the loving, liberating, life-giving message that we are called to proclaim and embody. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.